Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Chapter 4, verse 6. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on the pursuit of knowledge. The pursuit of knowledge. And in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, the beginning of that verse says, "My people are blessed for a lack of knowledge."
Yeah.
No. "My people are thrilled to the core for their lack of understanding." No. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Right? A lack of knowledge was what was destroying God's people. That's what it says. And it wasn't a lack of knowledge about computers or a lack of knowledge concerning how to cook well. It was a lack of knowledge concerning God and His Word, right? And a lack of knowledge concerning God and His Word has consequences. And in this case, you know, God's people were being destroyed because of their lack of knowledge for God and His Word. Go to Psalm 119, verse 12. But the good news is, this problem has a very simple solution. And we're going to see that in Psalm 119. We're going to go a little rapid fire here through Psalm 119. I've got a bunch of verses all in this chapter we're going to look at, and I think you'll see a theme. But Psalm 119, verse 12, it says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." Teach me thy statutes. Verse 26, "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes." Verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." 64, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." 66, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." 108, "Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." 124, "Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes." 125, "I am thy servant, give me understanding that I might know thy testimonies." 135, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes." And 144, "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall what? Live." Live. And living is the opposite of being destroyed, right? Right? "Give me understanding and I shall live." This request is made over and over and over again by David in Psalm 119. But it's a request for God to teach him and to give him understanding, to give him knowledge, right? To understand God's word. And God's answer is very simple. Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Verse 8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." That's God's promise. God's promise is that He will instruct and teach us in the proper way, in the way that we should go, right? God will teach you. You just have to ask. God will teach you. I will guide thee with mine eye, right? And the other part of that promise is that God's going to give us guidance. He's going to watch over us, right? Guide you with his eye means literally he's watching over you, right? So God's promise is that he will watch over you and he will instruct and teach you in the way that you should go, right? So that's God's answer. Psalm 25, verse 9. And here's the key to this working in your life. Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Right? So God promises to teach, but he asks something of us, right? That we be what?
Meek.
Meek. Right. That we be meek. That we be ready to receive God's instruction. That with our hearts, that we're ready to have God work in us. That we don't act like we already know it all. But that we're meek. That we go to him and say, hey, I can use some help here. I can use some instruction. And God is happy to teach you. Is happy to show you what you need to know. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So it's the meek that God can work with. Which makes sense, right? I mean, that's real life anyway. You know, talk to any coach, talk to any other consultant or counselor or anybody, if they think they've already got it figured out or they already know what they're doing, they're not going to be meek to that instruction, right? And it's going to be hard to teach that person, right? It's the same way with God. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God. Simple. Let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, right? He's going to give it to you liberally, not just a little bit. He's going to give it to you by the poundful. And upbraideth not, right? He gives you wisdom without rebuking. He gives you wisdom without making you feel like a dummy, right? He doesn't upbraid you when you ask him. He gives it to you liberally and upbraids not, which means, you know, he doesn't treat you like a dummy. He doesn't reprove you. And it shall be given him. It shall be given him. So God gives wisdom without rebuking. And he gives it liberally. And the promise is that it shall be given. So go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. So that's God's answer. That's God's promise. Right? He wants us to go to him. He wants us to ask him questions. He wants us to rely on him. And his promise is that if we're meek, he'll give us that wisdom and guidance. He's got his eye on us. In Proverbs 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear or the reverence of the Lord, and find the knowledge of what? God. So in our pursuit of knowledge, right, this is how God wants us to be. He wants us to seek it like treasure, right? Like we know that there's a buried chest somewhere out back, we would go get our shovels and start digging, right? And that's the way that God wants us to treat our pursuit of his knowledge of the word is like it's the treasures right here. It's at our fingertips. We just have to dig into it and look at it and ask him for understanding. Right? Verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. What is your ear inclined to? What does your ear on the alert for? Right? Is it the social media posts that you want to check out? Is it the news that the media is throwing at you every day? Or is it God's word? Right? What is our ear inclined to hear? Right? It says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to what? Understanding, right? Let's apply what's in our heart to God's word, right? Let's apply that word to our heart, right? And that takes an effort. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, right? God's saying, like, ask me, open your mouth and ask me. Criest after it, right? And then the attitude that we search for it as for hid treasures. That's where the understanding comes from. That's how to find the knowledge of God. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And the Word of God does contain all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. Right? That's what it says. So if there is something that you want to know more about, whether it's something you're dealing with in your own life or you're just curious, right? God's word has something to say about it. And we can just ask God to show it to us. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God wants us to study. He wants us to dig into His Word, right? He wants us to take that time to really dig into God's Word and study it, right? Pull out the book and read it. Pull out some concordances, right? Go look for what it is you want to know more about, and God will help to show you where to find it. And we do that to show ourselves approved before God, right? That we know the Word, that we understand what that Word of God says about whatever the subject may be, right? So that we do not need to be ashamed. We can say, yeah, I know what God's Word says about this topic, right? And rightly dividing the Word of truth means that we understand exactly what it's saying, that it's rightly divided, not wrongly, you know, divided to our own use or to our own end, but that we rightly divide the Word of God. And that all involves studying. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Right, we've been taught different techniques to study the Word of God, to make sure that the verses that we're reading fit with the other verses that we know to be true, right? To understand where the other uses of those words are in the Bible, to help us gain a bigger understanding of it, to understand what that passage or piece of scripture is directed to, who's it addressed to. You know, these are all things that are fundamental techniques to rightly dividing the Word and to studying it. And God will help us as we do that. Proverbs 22, verse 4. It says, by humility and the fear or reverence of the Lord are riches and honor and what? Life. Riches, honor, and life are the reward. Are the reward of us searching after that Word of God, of being humble and being meek. Riches, honor, and life, a long, healthy life. That's what comes out of it. That's the benefits of understanding and pursuing this knowledge of God. Right? Like in Hosea, when they lacked the knowledge of God, those people were what? Destroyed. Right? Destroyed. They were not in a position of great wealth and honor and life. They were destroyed. So riches, honor, and life is the reward that God promises. And those are all pretty good things. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3. And so we're going to look at some examples that back all this stuff up that I'm saying. 1 Kings 3. First Kings 3, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. So we know that Solomon loved God, and he walked in God's word like his father did. In verse 5, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. What would you like, Solomon? And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little what? Child. He was a youth. I know not how to go out or come in. I don't really know what I'm doing. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. There's so many of them. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? So God said, ask, what do you want? Ask me, sir, something. And Solomon asked him for understanding, for an understanding heart to be able to lead God's people. And the speech, verse 10, pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of your enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. So there was nobody before you, and there'll be nobody after you quite like you in this department. And I have also given thee thou which that did not ask, both riches and what? Riches and honor. Riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, and to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father did walk, then I will what? Lengthen thy days. Like. Life. Right? That was the promise. Right? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the rest gets added unto you. Right? And that's what happened for Solomon. Right? He just wanted to understand how to best rule and judge God's people. He wanted that wisdom. He wanted to know God's word so that he could do his best. And God gave that to him and everything else. And everything else. Go to Numbers chapter 12. Riches, honor, and long life, healthy life. Numbers 12, verse 3. Ever hear of a guy named Moses? Moses. Yeah, he's this guy, you know, whatever. He's in the Bible. But it says here in verse 3 of chapter 12. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses was called very meek, right? And that was one of the qualities that God looks for when it comes to asking for him for wisdom and for knowledge, is to be meek. And here, he was very meek above all men, above all men. And Moses received an abundance of revelation from God. He talked with God personally. Moses worked miracles, right? He worked plenty of miracles. He was given the law and the Ten Commandments from God. And what it says about Moses is that he was very what? Meek. Very meek. Right? Someone that God could work with. Go to Matthew chapter 11. So what a great example. He got to do all these crazy cool things. He received all this information from God. And he was meek. Matthew 11:28. This is Jesus Christ talking. Another great example. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your what? Souls." Right? So Jesus is an example of meekness. And then the rest that follows, right? The rest that we will find into our souls as we are meek like him. Right? He will give us rest. He will give us rest. Right? If we learn like Christ learned with meekness, then we will find great rest. Go to Philippians chapter 3. And if there's anybody who could have puffed themselves up or have been proud, it was Jesus Christ. He walked perfectly. Right? He's like that guy that, he could be like that guy that, you know, always one-ups you at the dinner party. You've got a story, but he's got a better story. Like, Jesus Christ could do that all day long. But he was meek. He was meek. Philippians 3, verse 3. This is Paul. We know about Paul too. Paul says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh," if there's anybody who thinks they've got reason to trust in themselves and their physical and mental capabilities, "I more, circumcised," and here's why, "circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Right? So he's listing his resume, right? Paul was an impressive scholar, right? And as religious as they came, but he was also a religious terrorist and persecuted and killed people in the church. Verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Right? Those things that I did to build up myself or puff up myself, I counted them as loss for Christ. Once he knew Christ, none of it mattered. It was unimportant. "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything else is worthless compared to that. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but what? Dung. Right? The loss of all things was all of that stuff he had. Right? All those accolades, all that prestige, all of that stuff. To him was dung. It was crap compared to what he knew in Jesus Christ. And do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Right? And that's Paul's example of humility and strength. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. So he's saying, I have all of these accolades. If you want to talk about being an awesome Hebrew, I was the awesomest Hebrew. But for what? For nothing. For nothing. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet or acceptable to be called an apostle, because I what? Persecuted the church of God. He said he was a religious terrorist. He killed people. He killed God's people. He persecuted the church of God. Not even worthy to be called an apostle. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Right? And he turned his whole life around. Right? And he sold out to God and to Jesus Christ. And it was God's grace that made him who he was in that day. Right? Not the religious terrorist that he was, but the apostle that he became. And he says, I labored more abundantly than they all by the grace of God that was in him. Right? So he humbled himself to God, right? And he received great knowledge and great revelation, did amazing, amazing things, and thereby received great strength, right? And it's that weird dichotomy. You humble yourself and God lifts you up, right? And then who can stand against you? What strength is there that can stand against God, right? So you humble yourself, and then God lifts you up. That's the true pursuit of knowledge. Go to Proverbs 3. We'll close here in Proverbs 3, verse 5. So there's a lot of people who would like to present themselves as strong or to talk about all the good things they've done, all the accolades that they have. But if we're meek and if we're humble, then it will be God who works in us and does the talking for us. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. So man, if you want to know something, if you want God to show you what to do, just trust in him. Just trust in him. Right? Lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge God. That's what he wants. He wants you to acknowledge that he's there. Right? He wants you to just acknowledge that he is right there with you. And then he will direct your paths. Right? And then we'll have the knowledge of God and we won't be destroyed. We'll have riches and honor and life. Right? Because God will be the one propping us up.